Good morning. We are going to call the meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. Today is Thursday, March 31st, 2016, and it is 8:05 a.m. With me today are Representative Reinbold, Representative Nagiak, Representative Hughes, Vice Chair Seaton, Representative Ortiz, and myself, Chair Tilton. Again, as our usual announcement before we get started, just reminding members and committee of the committee and people in the audience to silence their cell phones, and want to thank our committee secretary, Lori Rowland, and our teleconference monitor, Christy Perrin. So thank you for keeping us straight and keeping things going. Today on our agenda, we have HB 370, the municipal tax exemption, This is relating to municipal property tax exemption for economic development projects that we previously adopted, and it is my intent to move the bill out today. Based on Tuesday's committee questions and discussion, we have some new information to explain the one provision that had caused some confusion, and we have an amendment that addresses those points. I did close public testimony on Tuesday's hearing. And we did hear from our drafter, who is available for questions this morning, as well as Marty McGee and the state assessor that can help clear up any confusion. So I will reopen public testimony for questions to those who are online. We also have Ron Long of the City of Seward online. So in your packet, you have a memorandum that was prepared by Mr. McGee clarifying the confusing language found on page 1, line 11 through page 2, line 1. Our committee aide has also provided a document that helps explain how the language works, and we have one amendment that addresses the renewals and that specific language. So I'm going to ask the committee aide, Mr. Hilliard, to come forward and explain his document, the legislative history of this statute, which is quite interesting, and the specific language in the question and explain the amendment that's before us. So, Mr. Hilliard, if you'll go ahead and put yourself on the record and explain to us what we have going on.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Heath Hilliard, committee aide to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. I have up on screen something that I also provided in your packets, which is an explanation of that language, that was found on page 1, line 11, through page 2, line 1, dealing with education funding as it pertains to a renewal under the existing statute. And up on the screen, again, in your packets, what I was just trying to, in order to know how to recommend an amendment for the bill, especially as it pertains to the elimination of renewals, I needed to completely understand what the mechanical function is of the current language, and this document demonstrates this. So under the existing statute, and we use the municipality of Anchorage as an example, their total mill rate is 14.7. So for under a renewal for years 1 through 5, the statute would allow a total exemption of that 14.7. After year 5, under a renewal, it would subtract the amount set aside for education. In speaking with Mr. McGee earlier this morning, actually, I asked him if it would be fair to characterize this particular section or this particular language as an attempt at a secondary protection of education funding under a renewal, and he said that would be essentially a fair characterization, but that especially with the elimination of a renewal, that it's completely unnecessary. So that's what Amendment 1, LS 1551/H.3 does. It not only removes the renewal language itself, but because that particular provision dealing with education funding only is applicable under a renewal, it also removes the language pertaining to that, because with the new language dealing with an unlimited time period for these exemptions, it becomes unnecessary. So Amendment 1 /H.3 removes the renewal, removes the language pertaining to education funding under a renewal, and also removes the renewal for deferrals. And to the best of my understanding, based on committee discussion, I believe that was the intent of the committee at the last hearing.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hilliard. Questions for Mr. Hilliard? Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Heath, so before we walked into this bill, the current status quo, education, the contribution for education, there's never been an exemption for that ever, right? In other words, there's never been an exemption for education. So like, let's say a particular business has a property tax exemption. They were never exempted from the portion that went to education. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, and I'm probably going to have to defer to Mr. McGee, and he's online. My understanding is that the exemption that the municipality extends to a particular project or business does not free the municipality from its obligation to education funding. And if I misstated that, then I'll happily defer to Mr. McGee.
All right.
Thank you. Could we get Mr. McGee to talk on that issue?
All right. Thank you. I'll go ahead and I'll open the public hearing again. Okay. And Mr. McGee, are you online?
Yes, I am, Chairman.
Would you be able to respond to the Representative Ortiz's question?
Sure. For the record, this is Marty McGee. I'm the state assessor. The required local contribution is a requirement for the entire tax base that they contribute a minimum of 2.65 mils. It's not specific to an individual property. That requirement has never been exempted in any action prior. So that's a direct answer to your question. And the requirement, again, is for the entire tax base for municipal contribution to education. It's a minimum requirement. It's usually exceeded in the current environment by all of the taxing jurisdictions.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. McGee, and I apologize for my newness to this particular topic. But so let's say that a particular business had an exemption, and previous to today, this was only up to 5 years. So is that just foregone revenue then that the local municipality had when they granted that exemption? They were basically saying that's foregone revenue, particularly for the education contribution. Is that correct? Or was that particular business still contributing that portion of their property taxes that would go to education?
In response to your question, the particular business is exempt, so they are not required to provide tax revenue, but the municipality as a whole is still required to provide the tax revenue. That's the way the add back works with the full value determination for local options. So, in a sense, the school district and the municipality does not forego the revenue required to support the school district.
Madam Chair.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. And, I think it's really important to get really clear on the record that we dealt with this on a mandatory and optional when we were talking about senior property tax exemption. And in that case, we had a mandatory exemption, non-taxable under state law, so that first $150,000 was not included in the tax base for the calculation for education. And so this is an optional, so that it is included in the tax base for the calculation of education. Is that the correct understanding?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, that's correct. Your statement is correct.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Seaton.
So, I guess I'm just trying to figure out, so if a municipality would give a tax exemption for, let's say, 10 years for a big economic development project that might be like 25% of their assessed valuation, then the other residents and the other businesses, if it was a full tax exemption, would owe the 2.65 mils of the entire project that was being exempted from taxation, they would still owe that as required local contribution for education. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, your statement is correct. That's exactly how it works. It shifts the tax burden.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions for Mr. McGee? Thank you, Mr. McGee, for being online.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. McGee, we do have another question from Representative Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just waking up here and trying to. So for a municipality that is a school district, if a business is in such a municipality that is a school district, it's not going to get quite the same break as a business that's not in a municipality that's a school district. Is that right? Because they're going to have to pick up the education portion upon renewal. Is that instead of the muni backfilling it? Or do I have that wrong?
Madam Chair, Representative Hughes, under current statute, where there is a renewal, that is correct. They after year five, under a renewal, then they do have to give back the full portion, the full mill for education. But because the amendment before the committee removes the renewal process, the renewal being unnecessary because there's an designated time, not a specific year limit, the renewal goes away and the necessity for that language goes away.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hughes.
Yes, thank you. Okay, I'm not sure because that's what I thought yesterday when I mm-hmm. discussed it, but now I'm looking and I'm seeing the insert on line 7 of the amendment mm-hmm. that is saying the municipality may provide for the renewal, and then it goes on and says, however, under renewal, municipality as a school district may only exempt all or portion of the amount of taxes that exceeds the amount levied on other property for the school district.
Madam Chair, Representative Hughes, and this is exactly why I have our drafter online. This is a drafting function. So essentially, lines 2 through 6 are deleting an insertion, and lines 7 through 12 are inserting a deletion. It should have been, I really should have had this drafted for the committee as a committee substitute, but I was going back and forth with Ledge Legal yesterday afternoon until after 4 o'clock trying to figure out, A, what the provision does, and B, how to fix it. So it's just, the way this looks is just a function of drafting.
Representative Heath.
So even though it says insert, then down below we're deleting it again. Is that what's happening?
Madam Chair, Representative Hughes, that's correct.
Madam Chair,
Representative Hughes.
Thank you, because that's what I thought. I had my mind wrapped around that we were taking that away, and then I looked down and I saw the insert, and I got totally confused. So thank you very much for.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, because it's an amendment rather than a CS, they have to delete the original insertion before they can insert the deletion.
So my apologies, yes. Well, we wanted humor for this morning, and my apologies to the committee for causing any confusion. We do, and we do have Ledge Legal online to explain that if we needed, but I think we've got it cleared up. Yep. All right. Are there any other questions? Oh, all right. Hearing and seeing, is there anybody here in the room to testify? Since I opened public testimony, I should probably ask. And there are no other people online, so hearing and seeing none, I will close the public testimony. And with...
Madam Chair, brief at ease.
Brief at ease. All right, we are back on the record, and I do believe we have a motion here for us.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move to adopt Amendment 1, that's 29LS. 1551/H.
.3.
I think.
Yeah.
.3.
And are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, Amendment number 1 is adopted. And is there any committee discussion? Representative Seaton.
Madam Chair, I think it's really important for us to notify communities that they realize that this is a extended time. It's no longer 5 years. So if a city council would enter a contract with a for economic development of 10 or 15 years, that's going to be a contract that's going to be enforceable. And if they give an exclusion of the full taxable value, the rest of the residents and businesses in that municipality are going to have to pick up the 2.65 mil rate on that exempted value. So if it's a large project, it could significantly increase over that full length of period of time the tax liability of the current living residents and businesses. So I just think that an unlimited time is something that hopefully as people go forward with this, we want to see economic development. But the if they don't realize that, and it's sometimes a little hard, as we can see, to understand exactly what that exemption means, that we just want to put the warning on there that it does not exempt the municipality or the borough that is funding the school district from the liability for funding the schools at the 2.65 mils of their total assessed valuation. So thank you for letting me put that clarification on the record, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. So noted, and we'll see what we can do for that. Is there any other committee comments? With that, I'd entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move CS for HB 370 LS 1551 /H as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Hearing no objections from committee members. Seeing and hearing knowing no objection, CSHB 370 as amended moves from committee. I would like to remind members to stay here to sign the committee report, and thank you all for your work on this bill today. And with that, we will adjourn the meeting at, let's see what time it is, 8:32 a.m.